You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Mr. Announcer. Welcome to a Thursday night edition of Nightlight. Lots going on tonight. What a fun show I have in store for all of you. It is the popcorn pick of the week tonight. One of my favorite segments we do here at Nightlight. And tonight's segment will feature the great Rob Thomas, the Madison-based film critic. Conrad, I don't think we've ever had a critic do the popcorn pick of the week. So this will be a first.
Yeah, I think he's going to pick something, you know, not ordinary.
Obscure.
It's going to be... Maybe, you know, I'm thinking a film noir.
Ooh.
That's my first guess.
Okay. I can dig that. I've been watching some film noirs lately. I am so obsessed with the show Dexter. I'm on like season 7 now.
Okay.
And it is, I can't, I always say I'm going to take a break, but that has consumed my evenings for the last 3 weeks, I would say.
I saw it, I was just, you know, scrolling on, Instagram, and I saw a clip of Dexter.
Yeah.
And it was very weird. Who's the killer?
Michael C. Hall? Who plays Dexter, you mean? Or
the one of the killers.
John Lithgow?
Yes.
Yeah, he plays Trinity in season 4.
A kid, like, bounces into him or something, and then it cuts to a scene where he has the kid's mom. It's like...
That season was so insane, and it when Lisa Hale was on the show, Lisa Hale, who does news here in Green Bay for Civic Media, and she is also the host of New Wisco Weekend, we had her on about 2 weeks ago talking about Dexter because she is a huge fan, and she told me how great season 4 was. And season 4 is great, and John Lithgow is great as the Trinity killer, but the way that season ends is ridiculous. I cannot even say enough. Like, I know I'm late to the party. Most people listening, if you watch Dexter, it was years ago. But I'm into it, and I love it. And there's a lot of other TV I should be watching as well. But some nights I'll do 3 episodes of Dexter before I go to bed.
Oh.
It's terrible.
Speaking of TV.
Yeah.
I watched the pilot today of The Paper.
Oh, how was it?
So it was so funny.
Really?
I'm intrigued. And as soon as I get home tonight.
You're back at it?
Well.
Wait.
Football first, and then. And then the paper.
But are they dropping all the episodes at once?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And Oscar, who's it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So funny. His first opening line is like, nope, not again.
Just he's the only one that is doing a, so far, that has been booked on the new show as of at least a couple weeks ago. Has that changed?
I'll say there's one surprise appearance. I'm not going to ruin it.
Oh, God, I hope it's Steve Carell.
Can I say no just so you don't get your hopes up too high? It's not. It wasn't a recurring character, but he was in The Office, yeah.
Well, The Office, for those of you that don't know, The Paper is a spinoff of The Office, and Domhnall Gleeson, I think I'm saying that right, and I can't remember how to say the woman's name, Impeccatori. It's like Melissa Impeccatori. No, Sabrina, maybe. She was in White Lotus season 3. She played the hotel manager, and she's in The Paper, and she's great too, but I'm excited to see it. I'm anxious to see it and what they do, and I know it's going to be funny. It might not be The Office, but... It's got to be funny. There's great people behind it.
The comedy in it, just in the first episode, I was like, okay, I can dig this.
All right, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. And I'll eat something. I should watch that after I watch 2 or 3 episodes of Dexter a night, because I don't want to go to bed with serial killer on the brain. And by the way, I know you're watching Seinfeld. I'm back at season 3 now, and I've been watching season 3, and last night I probably fell asleep for 3 hours with my headphones on. And I woke up hearing Seinfeld. I'm like, what is going on in my house? Forgot I had Seinfeld on. It was insane.
I watched the episode yesterday where they go visit Seinfeld's parents.
Oh, it's so great. Is that Stella?
Stella. It's so good.
It's so great. And then they take a picture and she's cracking up on yeah. muscle relax. And the guy, Jack, was a take the pen. Take the pen. Like
he's just like nice brilliant. Pen.
He's
didn't
he's
ask for it.
He's an old time comic. I forget his name, but oh man, I've watched his performance in that. And then he thanks him again. It was leaving. He's like, ah. That
Seinfeld's
might be one of my favorite episodes.
Uncle, too, is like, oh, yeah. I'm getting sick of the dog thing you do.
Uncle Leo is great. Like, you got to get your cousin to write some jokes yeah. for you. What are you talking about? Jeffrey works for the Parks Department.
Yeah, that was so funny. Great.
Such a brilliant show. And then, folks, in hour number two, Bob Dennis will be here. Bob is a mafia expert and a podcaster, and he is a Green Bay resident, and he comes on the show from time to time. We talk about the mafia. And tonight we're going to focus on women in the mob. Bob will be here in person at 7:20. And as I mentioned, popcorn pick of the week at 6:35 with our pal, Madison film critic, Rob Thomas. He will join us to make the pick. And I think you're right. I think Conrad's right. Rob will pick something really good. I have to say, here's my issue with water. You know, you're supposed to drink like, well, the crazies say you got to drink 150 ounces of water a yeah. day, half your body weight or whatever. I'm not saying once you get used to that, you probably can handle it, but I'm not good at following through. It's like I'll drink 60 to 70 ounces a day for like 4 days straight, then I'll take a couple days off, and then I'll start up again, and I'm literally in the bathroom. You have to plan your whole day around drinking water.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, it's like, I know it's healthy, but it's just not relaxing. It's not a relaxing day.
You know what I recommend?
What?
You know, if you're struggling to get your water, this is what I did, all right?
Yeah.
When I was in college, I didn't get enough water because of other things. And I got a water bottle. It was like almost like it had the perfect amount of water you need in a day.
Yeah.
It said like, it had marks on it. It said, just starting.
Oh, I've seen those. Yeah.
Keep going. You're almost there. Just a little bit more. You're done. I did it once. And I don't remember where that bottle is.
It's not even, and like if you're not done drinking water by 5, and you got to do it all before like dinner time, or else you're going to get up all night and pee. It's not fun.
No, it's not. You know, the only time I drink water is like when I wake up, when I go to the gym and then before bed. And
yeah.
I'm like, that's good. That's fine.
I can do like 40 to 50 ounces a day without changing my whole schedule. But after that, I'm not doing it. I don't, how much is drinking incessant water? Is that going to add 10 years to your life? Then maybe I would do it. But if you're not sleeping well, cause you're peeing every 2 seconds, that's going to shorten your life.
Well, I mean,
I think it's a scam.
Sometimes like me, I'm a deep sleeper. So that doesn't wake me up.
You ever wet the bed?
When I was younger.
Fair enough. And on that note, we will go to our nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
When is the most awkward time to make eye contact with someone? It's a good question. You got a good one,
Sam. Yeah.
I'm anxious to see what people come up with. When is the most awkward time to make eye contact with someone? Let us know. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Be part of the show, folks. Join the fun. You can also text us on the app if you're listening on the Civic Media app. If you don't have the Civic Media app, come on, folks. Get with the program. You should have the Civic Media app. It's great. You can carry around all your hosts with you all day long. And then Nightlight from 6 to 8 every night. Very easy to use and very convenient. You can also drop us a stream comment if you're listening or watching on YouTube, Facebook, or X. Drop us a comment in the stream. Give us a like while you're there. If you're on Facebook or YouTube, does YouTube have likes? They have likes, or they have follows. Yeah.
Yeah, they have likes. You can comment right on YouTube as
well. Take a YouTube follow, an X follow, if you will, but let us know what you're thinking. I'm going to say I on social media today, I put an orgy as a joke. I've only been to like four of them, and I never wanted to make eye contact with anybody.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know,
what do you think?
I will say, you know, after I saw that comment, I thought about deleting you from Facebook as a friend.
Well, that will not get you invited to the next orgy, my friend.
No, no.
What do you say? What do you think?
Well, I mean, last night when we were talking about, you know, the YMC locker room.
Yeah.
I think that's a big one. You kind of keep your head down.
You do.
Change and then just get out of there.
Yeah. And I wonder if it's the same, First of all, gym culture is just weird. You don't want to make eye contact with a guy in the showers. I mean, I haven't been in a gym shower in ages. But
do you think
like,
they're just open?
Well, they used to be. And no, if you made yeah, eye that's... contact with someone, you instantly turned away.
Yeah.
Which it feels strange, too. Obviously, you know, I think my answer, though, is, and I obviously the orgy thing was a joke. I don't, for all I know, maybe you want to make eye contact with people at an orgy. I've never been to one. However, I will say my answer is when you're making out with someone. I remember when I was younger and, you know, you're kind of kissing and you're getting into it and you know, and a couple times I've opened my eyes right when she did because you're kind of waiting to see the other person.
No.
You're waiting to see what the other person's reaction is, what your reaction is. And then it's really awkward. It's like, oh, we're looking at each other while we're kissing. So I'm going to say while making out. That's a weird one. It hasn't happened in years. Hasn't happened in a few weeks. But that's one that is awkward. It's like, oh, are we done kissing now? Do we keep going? Do I just close my eyes and proceed? What happens here?
I think you just go right into it and stare at each other. Just keep going.
Yeah. You could do that. That's turning it up a notch, though. That's making the session more intense. And that's when I'm talking about when it's not leading to sex necessarily, but you're just sort of, you know, it's more of an innocent makeout. It's like opening your eyes. It's like, oh, what do we do now?
You know, that's a power couple that just, you know, they don't even close their eyes when they start.
Fair.
Know? They just open, they keep staring.
That is fair. But I do wonder, like that gym call, like with guys, I wonder if it's the same with women. Like when, and women, please respond to this. If you're in a women's locker room and you make eye contact with another woman, is it as awkward as it is between guys? Because when I've been in locker rooms in the past, I notice sometimes people will look away quickly and then I go, okay, that guy didn't mean to be look. It was just a, you know, random thing. But then you'll get the guys that'll like linger a little before they turn away. Like,
oh no.
Maybe they're trying to get your attention. But guys at the gym are different. It's a weird culture. And I know that when I was at leaving Bally's one day, this is probably in my 20s, and this muscle dude, huge, like you think I'm big. This guy had humongous muscles.
I mean, you're a mountain of muscle.
I'm a mountain of muscle. But this guy was holding the door for me. So I sped up a little bit and I said, hey, thanks a lot. Maybe I was overly friendly. I was just trying to say thank you. And he went, Like, he's worried that we're going to have some connection. Or like, guys are so weird about other guys. Like, I was just saying thank you. You don't have to grunt. You can say you're welcome. It doesn't mean we're dating. Calm down.
So weird. I've heard that before in the gym too.
What?
Just the weightlifter.
Yeah. It's really strange. So let us know, folks. 855-752-4842. That's our question of the night. When is the most awkward time to make eye contact with someone? We've got some great responses on social media. We'll get to those. Rob Thomas is here at 6:35 making the popcorn pick of the week. My phone is blowing up. Do you hear that? Can you hear that blow up in the next room?
Yeah.
It's like literally, it's like shaking. It's like, Pete, answer the phone. Crazy. So I think we got some good. All right, when we come back, I'm going to tell you about a movie you need to see, and then we'll read some text too before Rob Thomas drops by with the popcorn pick of the week. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let you know, girl, you're looking good. You're out of sight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Nightlight. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network tonight, folks. What better way to spend your Thursday than with me, Pete Schwabba, I'm enjoying it as well, and I have a great show for you guys tonight. Rob Thomas is here in a few minutes making the popcorn pick of the week. He is a Madison-based film critic, so I expect nothing less than excellence when it comes to his pick. And Bob Dennis is here tonight at 7:20. He is a local mob expert and podcaster, and we are going to talk about women in the mob. And there are probably more than you think, and Bob is always fun. He'll be here in the studio at 7:20. Conrad Krieger working the board tonight. How's it going over there on the other side of the glass? Everything okay? Hey, buddy. I love people have to wave. Whenever they walk by, they have to wave. I think that's so cool. There's hope for humanity. I have to tell people about this film I saw. And I know I've talked about it before on this show. I may have mentioned it in passing the other day. But I saw a film called The Threesome at the Wisconsin Film Festival in April. And we had the writer on the show recently, or probably around, probably in April, actually. He was on the show, and he did a great job. He wrote a great movie. It's thoughtful. It's a rom-com where it starts with a threesome, a guy and two girls, and then the twist that happens is amazing. And Zoe Deutsch is in it. She's great. It's got a great cast. I cannot recommend this movie enough. It is in theaters this weekend in a limited for a limited run. I don't know how long it'll be around, but if you live in Madison or Milwaukee, it will probably be there, well, at least through the weekend, hopefully longer, because it's a really good, really good film. And I saw it at the Barrymore Theater in Madison at the Wisconsin Film Festival, like I said, and it was just, the crowd loved it. Great script by Ethan Ogilvy, who was on the show, and just a really solid movie. There's great laughs in it. You know how it is, like, you see a rom-com, and I don't think this is like a guy thing, me saying this either. They're like kind of funny, but there's not like great comedy. It's like whimsical and a kind of a predictable love story. And they're safe and people know what they're getting when they watch them. That's why they watch them. But The Threesome is a little different. You don't see stuff coming. It is funny and the characters are great. I highly recommend it.
So did they make eye contact during that film?
Probably at some point. I mean, in a threesome, it's kind of crucial. You need to know what's going on, who you're, you know, about to have contact with, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Okay.
So there you go. But that's a good question. I applaud the question. Hey, our pal Terry Barr is watching on the stream. Terry says, I love Dexter. She says, it just keeps you guessing and watching. It is true. I really honestly thought I was going to take a break after season four, then after season five, and switch it up. Terry, I'm almost done with season seven. I think there's only eight seasons. So, and then there's like two or three other iterations. So I'll probably keep watching. Terry says, we saw Michael C. Hall, the actor who plays Dexter, on Broadway as the lead in Cabaret. Amazing. He is good. He's a very good actor, and he's perfect for that role. He is kind of a creepy look. Like, he's a handsome guy, but he's a vigilante. He's like Batman without the uniform. Or the costume, whatever you want to call it. Thank you, Terry. Good to know Terry's watching the show tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. She's going to be on here tomorrow night for Bar Band Friday night at 7:35. Don't miss that, folks. That is my other favorite segment of the week. So let's go and read some texts. We've got our question of the night is, I can't remember how I worded it. I have to go back and look now, Conrad. I don't want to misread it. When is the most awkward time to make eye contact with someone? When is the most awkward time to make eye contact with someone? We got a lot of text to get to, so I better start reading these. On social media today, Conrad said, in the locker room, we covered that. Sheila Rosenberg says, this made me laugh. I saw this earlier. She says, through the crack of a dressing room door, someone catches you peeping. Yeah, that would be awkward. Daniel Wheeler. Danny Wheels, he'll be here tomorrow night at 6:35, says, when casually trying to peek through the bathroom stall to see if it's in use or the door is just shut. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I've accidentally done that before.
But you look through the door, I go low, I look for feet. I'm not looking through the crack of the door.
You know, there's a couple times I'm like, is it? Oh, yeah.
Like, you felt confident it was free?
Yeah. You know, it's such an awkward thing when you think the bathroom is open or something. You know, when it's just like a single and you push down the handle, and then it's locked. Well, I instantly run.
Right. That's a good response. You ever get that weirdo that doesn't, that's kind of hoping someone opens the door?
No, I haven't.
Me neither. Mike Desitel says, when they're awake. Okay, Mike, that's fair. Good response. Our pal Nick Wallander says at the urinal.
Yeah.
That is awkward, Nick. And that probably, that is the first response or the first place my mind went is because there's been so many instances where you're just looking around and casual eye contact at the urinal. I always like to smile after that and make people feel really awkward. Don't look away. Just keep it going. Let's be friends.
You know, one of my favorites.
We have something in common.
One of the funniest scenes in Anger Management, if you've seen that movie with Adam Sandler.
Yeah, years ago.
He goes into the urinal and it's like one of his girlfriend's like best friends and he's mad, you know. He looks at him in his eyes and then looks down and then looks back up and the guy's just smiling at him.
At the urinal?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. My friend Fred Klett used to do a joke. Something about that too, smiling at people in the bathroom. You just don't do it. JB Thompson, the guy behind the guy, says while opening the door for someone. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I'll say this though. What's even worse is when you make eye contact with someone after you've opened the door for them. You make eye contact and they still don't thank you.
I went on a streak, you know, in the summer where I didn't get thank yous. So I'm done opening door for people. I'm just closing their face now.
I say it's most awkward when you're making out with someone. Conrad says in the locker room, we got a lot of texts to get to. We'll get to those. But what do you say, folks? When is the most awkward time to make eye contact with someone? That's the fun we're having here at Nightlight. It's great to have you with me on this awesome Thursday night, the Christmas Eve of weeknights. When we come back, Madison-based film critic and CityCast Madison editor Rob Thomas will be here to make the popcorn pick. You don't want to miss that, folks. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's time for the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we recommend a movie that you'll either enjoy or won't. Here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. One of my favorite times of the week, for sure, just because I get to think about popcorn. That was a five-minute break in the news. I went to pee three times, Conrad.
That's how much water you had today?
Do people ever just wear a diaper because it's convenient?
Well, then, you got to sit in it, though.
You know,
so is that really convenient?
Do some Googling, will you?
Because then you gotta go to get another one.
I guess so. Let's. I don't usually talk about such earthy topics on this show, but every once in a while, I just get irritated. All right, folks, it is time for the popcorn pick of the week, and joining me now to make said pick is Madison-based film critic. He's a regular on this show. He is also the editor of the CityCast Madison newsletter, a great publication. If you haven't checked it out, please do. And you can follow Rob on his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas. He is not that Rob Thomas, but he is our Rob Thomas, and he joins us now over the stream. Hey, buddy.
Cannot believe I'm following diaper talk.
Well, I wanted to set the bar low, Rob. I wanted you to come out swinging, you know.
Yeah. I think I can class this place up a little bit. Going up from there. Right. How are you,
Pete? I'm doing very well. Thank you. How are you tonight, buddy?
I'm great.
Are you, do you have an issue with people when you make eye contact? Is there an awkward moment for you when you're maybe with another reviewer, like after a movie? I don't know. When is it awkward for Rob Thomas to make eye contact with someone? And you can think about it for a while if you'd like.
I think it's more awkward when you deliberately avoid eye contact with somebody, because then you're like, what is wrong? Will this person look at me? And then that's when I start worrying.
That's interesting. Kind of flipping it on its head there. I like that.
Yeah.
Expect nothing less from Rob Thomas. So let's talk movies, Rob. I know you see more movies than most of us. You do all these great reviews. How do you typically watch movies? Let's do this. How do you prefer to watch movies, in a theater or at home?
Oh, in a theater. Okay. 10 times out of 10. Yeah. Because if it's a, you know, like, first of all, comedy, like The Naked Gun, or like an action movie, it's so much more fun to see on the big screen. But even if it's like a smaller movie, like if it's just playing on TV or if it's on Netflix, I find it harder to, first of all, watch it in one sitting, and secondly, to pay full attention to it when my phone is, like, you know, tantalizingly close. So I just, I love being in the theater and being, you know, just forced to give my undivided attention to something for 90 minutes or 2 hours.
That's a great answer. I think most people prefer the theater, but like with what you do for a living, I would imagine you just by default, you have to watch a lot of stuff at home. You get screeners or passes. How does that work too? Like, I know they used to send out screeners like as a reviewer. You know, how does it, do they give you a key code or something to watch something or Vimeo?
You're right. It used to be DVDs that would send screeners, and now that most people don't have DVD players anymore. So it is like a screening link. They, you know, they have a passcode. They have, you know, two-factor authentication on your phone. They have all these layers to avoid piracy. And then the most egregious thing is like a lot of times when you watch these, they'll stamp your name in big letters in the middle of the screen. So like if you like recorded it and sold it online, everybody knows who, you know, who leaked it. But it can be distracting to watch like watching a foreign film and your name is above the subtitles every time. So
it's up there the entire time?
Yes. Usually it's up there the entire time. Yeah. So
that's terrible.
But I mean, you trade a little bit for convenience because it's so nice to just be able to, like you said, watch it at home and whenever you want. And usually it's like a 48-hour window and they limit the number of times you can watch it and then it vanishes, which is how it should be.
Yeah.
But it's pretty, it's pretty nice for sure.
That's kind of cool. I thought about that over the last few years, like how does that work now? So I'm glad, thank you for the information. Do you typically like... when you're doing work, Rob, when you have a film to review and you're looking at your own name on any one of these movies, do you have a snack or is it mostly about business and you just have a cup of coffee or do you try to make the experience enjoyable like you're just watching a movie?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't like make popcorn usually or anything like that. I'm usually watching it after dinner. So I've probably eaten for the night, might have a beer going or a drink or something like that. You're never going to recreate the theatrical experience at home.
Right.
So usually I'm just watching it. And then you're not supposed to let other people in your house watch the movie with you. So because it's sort of like, you know, they don't have their name on it like I do. So, so usually I'm watching it by myself.
How are they going to enforce that? That's such a ridiculous.
It's more of a philosophy thing. Yeah. You're right. Have I broken that in the past? If the movie's like, oh, my wife would really love this, or the kids would really love something like a kids movie when they were younger. And also, frankly, it's from, you know, if it's a kids movie, it's good to get a kid's perspective, right? In theory, that's the idea.
What are your favorite types of movies when it comes to genre, Rob? What do you prefer to watch if you had to pick something?
I love action movies. I love the Mission Impossibles and the James Bonds. I've been watching those my whole life. I like thrillers that are like very smart, like Michael Clayton is one that comes to mind, or there's one in theaters right now called Relay, where it's like, you know, the plot doesn't depend on somebody doing something really dumb, but it's like everybody, the good guys and bad guys, are really very smart and trying to kind of outwit each other. I like those movies a lot.
Where do you stand on, how long has it been since you've seen The Sting?
Oh, good question. I think it's probably been 15, 20 years, I think.
Okay. That's one that just came to mind when you said that, where people are trying to outsmart other people. And I've been thinking lately, I'm so due for a rewatch on that. It's one of my all-time favorite films. So.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I have it on Blu-ray somewhere, but I need to rewatch that one. Yeah.
So what is your favorite movie snack, Rob?
I mean, I got to go. You know, I was thinking about this. I'm not a sweets guy in the theater. Like, I don't eat Milk Duds or a candy bar or sweet tarts. I like savory. So either definitely popcorn, I think, is still the number one. And there's certain movies like you just got to have popcorn with it, you know, like it may not be a 3-hour French movie is popcorn, a popcorn movie, but like, you know, a summer blockbuster, a Marvel movie, it just feels like you got to have some popcorn and one of those just ice cold Cokes with you.
Yes. Oh, great. Great call. My new favorite snack food, and this is when I'm at home because they don't serve this in theaters, is like sea salt caramel corn.
Okay.
I eat that like I haven't eaten in a week. I can polish off like two. It's dangerous. But yeah. I like that. Like I like movie theater popcorn, but I don't like the butter typically. And then you're sitting there with your hands and you got to go to the John to wash your hands and you miss the movie. I don't know. It seems kind of inconvenient to me.
Yeah, I mean, you can get pretty messy there in the theater. Like some people really like those nachos with nacho cheese.
Yeah.
But like, I don't understand how you don't end up with nacho cheese all over your pants when that movie's over. So
listen, I've done that. I did three, four weeks ago. I went to see Naked Gun here in Green Bay. I came down early and I got a soft pretzel with the cheese. And I roll in here and I go into the restroom and I see a big glop of cheese on my shirt. And everybody I was leaving, I'm sure they saw it like, look at this idiot, you know.
I feel that matches the Naked Gun aesthetic, right? Like he's chili dogs in the car and stuff. I think that's like an homage to the movie.
Absolutely. Yeah. What is your snack choice at home, Rob? What do you do? Do you change it up? Do you have a cocktail sometimes at home?
Sometimes a cocktail or a beer. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we'll have popcorn if like, you know, two or three of us are watching a movie together. Absolutely. But like, I can't make a whole bowl of popcorn just for me. I don't think.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. My guest is Rob Thomas. He is a Madison-based film critic and the editor of the CityCast Madison newsletter. Check it out. He is here tonight to make the popcorn pick of the week. We're talking about movies and our approach to movie viewing. So what is your cocktail of choice, Rob? When you're watching something at home, what do you go for?
You know, if it's not a beer, probably like a, just like a basic old fashioned or something like that, or nice. like a whiskey and Coke or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Just one watered down just to kind of ease into a movie.
You want to be able to remember the movie too. You don't want to get
that's bored. Right. Yeah. I am technically working. So,
right.
Yeah.
Do you feel differently? Can you watch movies differently as a critic and as a fan? Like, is it, do you relax more or is your brain kind of, wander a little bit when you're just watching it casually?
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoy watching a movie just as a fan. Like if I've seen it before, even if I've reviewed it before and I can just enjoy it. But I really try, even when I'm sort of in critic mode, I really try and watch it as a fan and just enjoy it. And then, you know, and just appreciate it, the experience of watching a movie. But then there's kind of this little voice in my head that's kind of, you know, paying attention to like how I'm responding to the movie and trying to figure out why something is working or something not working.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's kind of like two of me watching the movie at the same time, if that makes sense.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah. So what about, have you ever snuck booze into a theater, Rob?
Okay. One time a friend of mine brought a bottle. We went and saw Wayne's World, which I think is a pretty good movie to sneak booze.
Absolutely.
Into.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. And he snuck in, it was like a bottle of nitrate, cheap wine or something like that. And we passed that back and forth and had a lovely time. I don't think Mike Myers would mind. Yeah.
I don't know if I told you this. I was talking to somebody on the show recently and I said, my wife and I are really big fans of Blue Moon non-alcoholic beer. And that's what we sneak into the theater. How pathetic is that? You know, I kind of admire that. All right. So how do you feel about previews, Rob? Do you like them or you show up, you roll in a little late so you don't have to sit through them? Or as a critic, do you want to see the previews?
I would love to know as little as possible about a movie before I see it, if I'm going to review it. I definitely don't want things spoiled. And the problem is now they're mixing, you know, regular ads in with the previews. Like it used to be before, at least they would have the ads before the previews. But like when I went Monday night, there was a Google Pixel ad right in the middle of the previews. And it's like, come on.
That's
terrible. Can we escape it?
Yeah. That's terrible. Last question before we get to your pick, Rob, what movie has made you cry? And if there's been multiple, just give us an example when you've teared up at a movie.
Oh, It's a Wonderful Life. I've probably said this on the show before, but like 10 minutes in, I'm gone for sure.
Really?
And like when the whole thing with Mr. Gower and the pills, like, and the thing is now, like, even though I've seen it 40 times, like, I know it's coming. Like, there's no escaping it. And maybe somehow knowing makes it even more emotional for me, I think. So I just, you know, give up. I'm gonna go, especially at the end.
That's great. Here comes the rain. That movie, the first time I saw it, I've talked about this on the show too. When he's hugging his daughter at the end, when it seems like all hope is lost,
yes,
and he's just clinging to her. I was probably 22. My wife, who was my girlfriend, then showed me the movie for the first time, and I could not believe. I'm like, I'm bawling in front of this girl who I just started dating, but I couldn't. And I was 22. I didn't even know what it was like to have kids.
Right.
The other film, The Florida Project, at the end, the way that film ends.
Oh my gosh.
I lost it.
Yes. Yeah.
Beautiful stuff.
Well, something about kids, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to tease you guys a little bit, and we're going to do a very short break. And when we come back, Rob will give us his popcorn pick of the week. And then we'll talk about some other films, too. That's all coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Free in the face.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Pardon me. I am Peach Wabba. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network. It is a Thursday night edition of Nightlight, folks. We are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay, chilly Green Bay. Rob, is it nice in Madison today?
It's got a little bit of a chill. Yeah, it feels nice, though. I mean, it's like September, right?
We got to
accept it. So
I always feel like it's weird that it immediately gets cold after like September 2nd. It's like...
Right. It is like a light switch got turned on.
It's really strange. All right. Rob has just told us how he likes to watch movies. He's a film critic, so we got a little bit of a perspective from his approach, told us about his snacks. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to get Rob Thomas's popcorn pick of the week. Conrad, if you please. Rob Thomas, go for it.
It's a lot of pressure. Well, as a film critic, you know, I was thinking, oh, I should find some obscure indie film or some little foreign film. But man, Jaws is back in theaters right now for its 50th anniversary. And you may have seen it like on TV or whatever, but you have to see it in the theater. Like I was saying before about the theatrical experience, it is like a perfect movie. And it's scary and thrilling as you think, but it's also very funny. It's also very incredibly well acted and written and paced and has so many rich supporting characters. And I hear like literally parents are now taking their kids to see it when they're old enough, and the kids are becoming obsessed with it. So I would say while Jaws is in theaters for its 50th anniversary, go out and see it. I think we're going to go tomorrow night.
So it's still in theaters then?
Yeah,
I thought it was just go ahead. Sorry,
I thought so too. But I looked in my Fandango, and it looks like it's staying through a second week. So we're gonna go tomorrow night because I mean it's doing really well. It's sort of a quiet time for movies right now, and like I said, it's a perfect movie.
Absolutely.
There's also like a 3D version out there.
Oh, really?
Normally 3D versions of old movies don't work. It's pretty good. Like it's actually, they did a good job with it. So if you think great. I've seen it too many times to go, I mean, try the 3D version just for something different.
Absolutely. I would do that in a heartbeat. I thought it was only in theaters for like a week, and I watched it recently on my TV. I have a pretty big screen, but you're right. It's not the same. And I was amazed when I watched it with my kids, how well it held up. They get right to the story. I mean, the first scene, the shark is attacking someone, and then they immediately, the beaches are closed. It just, there's not a weak link in that movie. It really holds up.
And the way it turns in the third act, it becomes kind of like, just when you think that you might get a little tired of the beach attacks, the way they go out on the boat in the third act and becomes like a totally different kind of movie. I mean, it's just perfect.
It really is. No, that's a great pick. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
I just say, I hope I'm right. It's there playing a second week, because otherwise I missed it. But I think it is, at least in some theaters. And I highly recommend people go catch it.
No, it's absolutely worth a look, and that is a fantastic pick. Jaws, folks, check it out. If it is still in your local theater, it is, it's really worth it. And I'm saying that having not seen it on the big screen ever. I think I've only seen it on TV or my kind of big screen at home, but I may have to do that this weekend as well. Rob, I wanted to ask you, and that's a great pick, by the way. Thank you.
Thanks.
I want to ask you about a couple movies you reviewed on your Substack. I've been talking about this film that I saw at the Wisconsin Film Festival, Threesome. I saw it at the Barrymore with a packed house. Maybe one of the best romantic comedies I've ever seen. You seem to really be a fan too, based on your review that came out yesterday.
Yeah, I did. You know what? I did not realize it was at the Wisconsin Film Festival.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm glad it played so well. Yeah, it's it sort of opens, I think, tomorrow. I might have some sneak preview screenings tonight. But like the name suggests, it's about this guy. He likes this one woman. The two of them meet another woman at a bar and go home. And, you know, I think my headline was, it's a great advertisement for why you should not have a threesome, because things get so complicated for
yes.
all three of them the next morning and beyond. And it's really, really well done, really sincere, heartfelt. None of them are like the villain. None of them are
right.
like, well, that's the bad person. They're all, you feel for all of them kind of entangled with each other in ways that I won't spoil. Although the trailer does. And good performances, really good directing, really, really good. So it's a smaller movie. I think it was the AMC mystery movie on Monday night. That's what I went and saw.
Oh,
and
really?
I really liked it. Yeah, I really liked it. And it was very fun to see. I don't know how it was at the Barrymore, but it was fun to see with an audience because there's so many plot twists and revelations.
Yeah.
And just people gasping and going like, oh, no. You know, it was very fun to see with the crowd.
It's great. And we had the writer Ethan Ogilby on the show around sometime in April. He was great to talk to, and just his approach to writing. And he even told me, he goes, there's kind of a big twist that happens about 30 minutes in. And I still didn't see it coming. And yeah. I loved that. And you're right. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's such a fun movie. And the character, like you said, there's one of the girls is kind of a little more on the religious side. The other one's more free spirited. He's kind of this, you know, thoughtful dude. All the characters are thoughtful. And you just said it great. You kind of root for all of them. It's a really well done film.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
We have to do, can we keep you through the news for a few minutes, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So I want to talk about another film you reviewed, which I think looks, I love Carol Kane. And it's a film that you reviewed about a week ago called Office Killer.
Yes.
Where can we see that?
I rented it off Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not on DVD. It's not for free on any of the streamings. It's kind of been forgotten, but it's quite a ride. Yeah.
All right, that's awesome. All right, Rob is going to stick around through intermission. He'll be here for a few minutes after we start Act Two, and we're going to talk about, have you seen Weapons, Naked Gun, Caught Stealing, Rob?
I saw Naked Gun. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, we'll talk about Naked Gun, and I had David Zucker on the show a couple weeks ago. He had an interesting story about how that all came to be, and he was not involved in it, so we could discuss that too, but I'm really anxious to hear your thoughts about Naked Gun. We'll do that, and we'll talk about The Office Killer, and maybe old-time Madison restaurants. I want to ask Rob about one of those that he wrote about recently on CityCast. We are coming right back for Act Two. It's Pete Schwalbe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.